Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So at the end of the year, when the Clippers say, should we move on from Paul George, they're going to show the end of this game, and they're going to say, yep, playoff P, at it again. An incredible ending. The Jazz hold on to win game one against the Clippers, 112-109, when the Clippers tried a very bold strategy at the end of the game. Hey, no one's going to try to take this last second shot. Nobody wanted it. Paul George didn't want it. Passed. Kawhi Leonard didn't want it. Passed. And it was Marcus Morris who tried a 24-footer from three to tie the game that Rudy Gobert blocked. The rebound came up. A shot was chucked up. Didn't even reach the rim as the clock hit zero. So you had the Clippers have with their two big stars, and nobody wanted to take that shot. They knew they needed a three. Nobody took it. They couldn't get open enough, and they pass up. Marcus Morris is the guy in the corner taking a last-second shot for the Clippers. Of all the things that have crushed them, Mike, this playoff so far, the two biggest games, where they could have tilted series, we had the one game in the last round against the Mavericks when Paul George didn't want to take the shot and pass to Terrence Mann, and now you have this game where nobody wanted to take a shot that you had to take with time ticking down, and Marcus Morris is the guy taking that last second shot for the Clippers.
So you got Kawhi does the handoff to Paul George. George gets it back to Kawhi, and for whatever reason, he gets it to Morris in the corner, and then he's crying, screaming, get me the ball back. Meanwhile, it's getting blocked by Rudy Gobert, and Kawhi's just got his hands up. Give me the ball. It's like, why'd you give it up? There were 5 seconds left on the clock. You're the guy. You're supposed to be the assassin. Look, great effort by the Clippers. You could have mailed it in at any point. You saw how tired they were. But they had a 13-point lead at half. And then Donovan Mitchell takes over. You're still hanging tight. And you get it to Morris for the would-be the game-tying three-point shot. What are we doing?
Goodness. Well, you know, let's find out what we're doing. Because joining us now on the hotline, our teammate here at Fox Sports Radio, 17 years in the National Basketball Association. You can follow him on Twitter at OldenPolonese1. That's at OldenPolonese1. Fox Sports Radio NBA analyst. OP, man, that was some kind of way on how not to play basketball at the end by the Clippers.
Yeah, it was really kind of erratic at the end there. And you're right, Kawhi had the ball in his hands, you know, 6 seconds on the clock. And even though they did send, they sent a double team, but it wasn't a hard double team. It was a soft double team. And he saw it coming, and he passed the ball. But again, you're on the team to take those shots. And so the same way we go at LeBron James when he makes passes, you know, Kawhi's got to get the same heat. You know, you got to take that shot. You can't give it up and then want it back. You just got to hold it and keep it in your hand. And that was the difference between him and Donovan Mitchell tonight. Donovan Mitchell said, I'm taking these shots. I'm going to the basket. I'm attacking. And so we saw two different styles of play from two, you know, star players.
You know, I do want to give credit to the Jazz because the one thing they did well, and it's like you said, they threw soft guys, but they had everybody out at the three-point line. They weren't going to fit. You know, they didn't do some crazy defense and guys get lost. They still had guys out there where, hey, we're going to make you work for this three. Like, you'll be able to take it, but we want to cover. We don't want to leave anybody wide open. And suddenly it's, you know, Kawhi's got it, a drive and a kicker here. You know, they were on everybody. I mean, you figure, okay, they pass it off to Marcus Morris. He's going to get off some kind of an open shot, and he didn't. So that was, I mean, that was a really good, solid way I felt the Jazz played the end of that game defensively.
Oh, no, they definitely did. They everybody was on top of the three-point line. And a lot of teams, and a lot of times in a lot of teams, you'll see that they drop under the basket when the team needs a three to tie the game. And it always baffled me that people just don't understand. The only shot that can really hurt you is a three. So if they get a layup, so what? Then now they got a foul because they're going to still be down one. And you go make free throws and stuff like that. But, you know, I thought the Jazz did an excellent job. But the problem for the Clippers in that situation, the one guy, and it's not even Kawhi or Paul George, the guy they needed on that court, Mr. Confident, fouled out. And that's Reggie Jackson.
Just 17 minutes on the night, 3 of 6 from the field, 3 of 5 from three-point range, but 6 fouls, minus 7 on the night, 9 points. The shot was there early, Olden, just couldn't avoid the, well, what some might say are touch fouls, but they're fouls just the same.
Hey, this is the NBA playoffs. I mean, you're supposed to let them play. And I think for the most part, they letting guys play. But some of the fouls, it's almost like the hard fouls they let go and the ticky-tack they call,
yes,
which has always been absurd to me.
Well, that's just it.
The logic behind that.
Well, the play that Jackson fouled out on. Like, there's a little bit of contact, but it's like, really? To disqualify the guy from the game? You know what the situation is. How you call
it
a foul?
Well, he picked that foul up because Donovan Mitchell played that foul.
Oh, no, it was a good job. Good acting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the thing is OP, it's not about Paul George not making clutch shots, because he made the big three with 38 seconds left, right? So he made the big three. But it's those shots at the end of games where it's not like, hey, we need a basket here, I can make it. But when you get inside of 10 seconds and we absolutely need a hoop, I just have no interest in making it. Now, he had a bad night shooting, but he had just made a three. And he couldn't get rid of that ball fast enough back to Kawhi Leonard. I mean, it wasn't like he drew defenders to him. No, it was like, you give it to me, I'm going to give it right back to you because I really don't want it. And then, like, he gives the pretend, hey, give it back to me. I mean, really, I mean, look, Kawhi, at least, if I'm looking of the two on that play, Kawhi was the guy that at least looked for the shot a little bit, didn't have it. I mean, still dish it off, but man, Paul George didn't even, not even for one second did he think, I can dribble, try to find my shot and make this. Not for one second did he think about making that.
No, he did not. And something else that's going to come up, and I don't know if he'll address it, but I noticed it. The chants from the Utah fans, I think that's going to get to them.
Because I actually had that in my notes.
I noticed when they started chanting overrated, it's almost like you could see, like, there's an emotion that came over him. And so we're going to have to keep our eyes on, you know, as far as, like, when he's playing in Utah against them, because that might really be something that's, like, going to mess him up, because I could tell, like, there was a shift in his body language and everything else. So, you know, you got to understand – I'm like, fans are going to chant stuff. You can't let that stuff get to you, man. You just got to toughen up, buckle down, and play basketball. You're one of the top players in the world. You know, there's only 500 people in those jobs, so you're there. If you're overrated, I guess it's because, you know, they probably compare you to Magic and Michael and those guys. So don't worry about it. Just play basketball.
Tough when those comparisons start flowing. So which part do you take from this? Hey, we had a 13-point lead at halftime, positive, or a 3-point loss? Which weighs in that locker room?
The 3-point loss. The 13 points, that's going to happen. Teams, you know, you come off an enormous win against the Dallas Mavericks in a game 7. You're hyped. You know, first game on the road, yeah, you're going to have that emotion. But then it usually – dies down at halftime like it did. And then the home team came out, you know, like I said, Donovan Mitchell came out like gangbusters and just took over the game in like the first 4 or 5 minutes. And, you know, the Clippers fought back valiantly, but again, horseshoes and hand grenades.
Olden Polonese, our guest right now, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. All right, the one thing you can say about the Clippers is that they are resilient. Right? You know, there was a couple of times in the last series it looked like that could be it. They could go out very meekly, but they come back and find a way to beat the Mavericks. Do you still see that resiliency? Or is this a series where, hey, this is a game that can really tilt it towards the Jazz and they might not recover from it?
Resilient a little bit. I give them resilient about maybe 10%. Dallas blew that series, okay? Let's not give the Clippers all the credit. The Dallas Mavericks blew that. And they blew it in game 3. So let's put that on the back burner. But, yeah, I mean, for the most part, the Clippers, you know, they fought hard. But, again, that close doesn't count. But Utah did what they're supposed to do. They held home court. Now, the critical thing about this is they won without Mike Conley.
Right.
Now, if they're able to, you know, I'm sure he'll probably play in game two. They hope it. But that's a key. He makes things go. He makes them faster. You know, their offense runs well with him. And so to be able to escape, and that's what they did tonight. They escaped with a win without Mike Conley. And that's big. And so to me, I still say advantage Utah.
Succeed and proceed, as they say, Olden. Take the three-point victory and move on. The heroics of Donovan Mitchell tonight. All right, we have this discussion all the time, and Jason has lobbed the, hey, he's the closest thing we have playing right now to Kobe Bryant. Where do you put him in the stratosphere of the young stars of the game?
Who's that?
Donovan Mitchell.
The closest thing to Kobe Bryant? Nah, the closest thing to Dwayne Wade. He's more Dwayne Wade-ish than Kobe-ish.
Which is his guy.
He's got more of a killer mentality than he's got that Mamba mentality, man. Donovan's
got
that.
Hey, listen. Anybody that just shoots whenever they want, that's called Mamba mentality. That's Kobe.
Hey. He only took 30. Come on, Olden. He'll get ice on that arm. He'll be just fine.
But the thing about them is the fact that the whole year has been about the three-point shot. But the key for Donovan Mitchell is the fact that he can make that shot. He has a green light, but he's so athletic. He can get inside. He can handle. And so he's a tough, tough person to defend. And it was funny because they kept switching. Listen, I know Luke Kennard can make shots, but that man couldn't guard me right now. And so it was – I'm like, listen, Ty Lue, you should have went offense and defense, you know. Just make the substitutions. Go offense, defense. There's no way you should have kept Luke Kennard in the game to defend against Donovan Mitchell. They were looking for that switch. And every time he got that switch, he smiled and went to the basket.
Hey, OP, lastly, I got to ask, were you the one that voted for Derrick Rose for MVP? Was that your ballot today that put Derrick Rose at the –
No. I voted for Chris Paul. I thought he did an incredible job with that team.
It was. Are you okay with Jokic winning?
Oh, definitely. That's who should have won. I appreciate what Steph did with the Warriors and what Embiid did, but he missed 21 games. Jokic didn't miss any games. He played the season. He carried that team after Jamal Murray went out. And he's definitely the MVP.
You can follow him on Twitter at OldenPolonese1. That's at OldenPolonese1, Fox Sports Radio, NBA Insider. OP, as always, Brady, appreciate it, my friend. We will talk to you next week. Have fun. Enjoy
All
the
right.
games.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Olden.
Great stuff there from Olden, man. Look, he couldn't
Fantastic
guard me right
stuff.
Now. He couldn't guard me right now.
That was great. Kennard, 29 minutes, 7 of 9 from the field, 4 of 6 from three-point range, 18 points. He was plus 4 on the night. So,
well, he was hot. He was hot early.
Oh, he was.
I mean, that's the thing is he did carry them early. He was the only guy that was really scoring for them.
As soon as Jackson got in foul trouble, everything shifts.
Yeah,
the
that
ball's
was it.
Ball's in Paul George's hand a ton. And as Olden said, I mean, the overrated chance, when I got a chance, I was turning up the volume, and certainly our executive producer, Justin Frostberg, passing along the notes of the chant. You could see in Paul George's countenance going to the free throw line here in the chant at one point, little bit affected, or so it seemed by it. So we'll see how that plays out in the series.
Yeah, and you can't play that way. You can't have rabbit ears and play professional. I can't believe Kevin Durant is as successful as he is, and he hears everything. I mean, he got in a whole back-and-forth blank you with ESPN's Jay Williams today about he was mad that he compared Giannis, he compared KD to Giannis, and they get into it on social media over it. I mean, KD, what do you care about that?
Well,
I mean, he cares so much about what people
say about him. It's in the middle of a series.
No,
but this one, though, is, you know, you're basically putting him and thrusting him into the conversation of, who's better here? and saying in your words that this guy isn't worth your time to keep his name out of a sentence with mine and whatever else. Inflammatory. And then, there's all the debates. Well, did it happen? And if it did, should Jay Williams have kept that one as a nice little note that he told at cocktail parties once in a blue moon instead of airing it out on national television?
Mm. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. So when I say things like, hey, Donovan Mitchell's the closest thing we have to Kobe Bryant as far as the mentality, the shots, the clutch, the ability to score in streaks. I mean, tonight is what I mean by that. Like, he wasn't even feeling good. Like, he had an intestinal problem tonight. Quinn Snyder said, he was moving around kind of gingerly.
Yeah, but he showed great intestinal fortitude.
Yeah, well, he did. What did Jesse Ventura used to always say? I forget what his phrase he used to say. It's not coming to me. But still, 45 points. He had the first 10 points of the third quarter when things were in trouble for the Jazz a bit and the Clippers were coming back. I mean, he's it, man. I mean, if people are just rediscovering tonight the kind of superstar he is, okay. Because I get it that there's been so much time and so many other people that we've talked about over the course of the year. Jokic winning the MVP. Okay, I get it. We're concentrating on that. We're talking a lot more about Devin Booker. And in the East, obviously, Trae Young was a big deal, and so was Julius Randle and all these guys. And you forget about Don. Okay, right, he plays on Utah. We don't see many of his games during the season. It happens in the playoffs. He was hurt a while. He has been the difference, right? They didn't play without him in game one. They lost. What happened since then? All they do is win. All I do is win. That's all he does is win. 45 tonight when they needed him against the Clippers. I mean, he's it, man. It's tonight is what I talk about when he's the closest thing to Kobe. And clearly you saw that the rest of the country, hopefully everybody else is understanding just how special this guy is. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Coming up, we have more on this game and more on just what happened at the end with Kawhi and Paul George. Paul George, stay away from social media for like the next 8 years after tonight. And, Kawhi too. More on this huge ending, incredibly exciting night in basketball coming up next right here. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oral yes, sir. Greatness.
And, now there's another city I can't go to anymore, Mike, in the last couple minutes. Kind of surprised.
Cleveland.
Didn't know. No, it's not Cleveland.
Okay.
Before we get to that. This Bears before, and we'll have more on the Clippers and Kawhi and Paul George playing hot potato with the basketball at the end. The Jazz beat the Clippers 112-109, likely because no Clippers wanted to take the final shot in the last 10 seconds, and they wind up getting a bad three from Marcus Morris. It gets blocked by Rudy Gobert, and now the Jazz have a one-game-to-none lead. Now, here's the thing, because there's got to be something we're not being told, because here is Donovan Mitchell. 45 points, player of the game by far for the Utah Jazz. And the post-game interview on TNT is done by Rebecca Harlow. And look, Rebecca Harlow's great. I work with Rebecca Harlow at NFL Network. She's terrific.
Does a great job, absolutely.
But Shaquille O'Neal went out of his way to insult Donovan Mitchell earlier this year, saying, I don't know that you and the team has what it takes, and I'm not a believer in you. Really surprising him with that interview after a game. And I give Mitchell all the credit in the world for just keeping composed and answering Shaq's questions. But now that the Jazz are winning and when he's having big games, the last two times on TNT that Donovan Mitchell has had big games, the end of game interview has not gone to Shaquille O'Neal.
Yep.
We had Reggie Miller, and now we had Rebecca Harlow. So something's up, whether it is TNT saying we don't want this because this might look bad for Shaq, or it's Mitchell's people saying I don't want to talk to Shaq. Something is up, because it's great TV and what NBA fans want to see. Now, this is a little bit inside the NBA, because look, the hardcore NBA
fans. That's what
they
call it.
Yeah, look, the hardcore NBA fans know that what Shaq said in his post-game interview to Donovan Mitchell a few months ago. But this is one of those things that, hey, if you're going to have somebody interview Donovan Mitchell, have Shaq do it, right? So it becomes a big thing, right? It'll trend on social media. It'll be something people talk about. You don't know what Shaq is going to say. You don't know what Mitchell's going to say in response. You want to see why. And then it will be a big deal. People will pay attention to it. And then they'll say, why is it such a big deal? Because of what happened. And it's a big thing for TNT, but something has to be up because there's no reason why. Second time in a row, it's not done. Because if this is TNT saying, we want to keep Shaq from some kind of embarrassment, that's weak. He called Mitchell out. He called the Jazz out. Now he's got to suck it up. If it's Donovan Mitchell saying, no, I don't want to talk to Shaq, dude, why not? This is when you can say, still hate us, Shaq? Still think we're not doing well? Why are you backing away? This is when you're only going to talk to Shaq if you had a great game and your
That's
team
right.
wins, right? If you shoot 2-for-17 and you lose by 25, TNT's not saying, hey, we could have taken Kawhi. He had 50. Instead, let's go to Donovan Mitchell, who was 2-for-17. So you're only doing it if you're playing well and you get to shove it in his face. So I don't get why, but something's got to be up because it doesn't make sense we didn't get this.
Yeah, you got to get your stroll on. It's certainly not coming from Mitchell. It can't. Right? It just can't be. But on a night where they're sitting there in the studio celebrating all their Emmys, congratulations. Fantastic stuff. A group of those. Congratulations to Joe Buck, to Emmanuel Acho, all of those at Fox that won. But the inside, the NBA guys, they've got them there and they're celebrating. You could just throw those to the side because if you can't take an interview with Donovan Mitchell, what's it all matter?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to play grab ass running to a wall and whatever. It's like you can talk to the star of the game. Swallow your pride. You know, Shaq will mumble something in his general direction and we'll move on. But yeah, you know, that's multiple times that you've had these monster games, and let's call it what it is. He had a bad first half and then he came out like a house of fire in the third quarter and they never looked back. And so this is one where you got to wear it. You know, you said something silly. If it's now up in their locker room, I'd love to see a shot of it. Either way, you know, they need to figure this out because that's good television for one, and what you're waiting on, right? And those are the guys that, and again, it's no disrespect to Rebecca Harlow, to Reggie Miller, to anybody else courtside. It always goes back into the TNT nerve center, and suddenly it's not just when Donovan Mitchell's there. No, it's bad business. Come on, guys. Zach, let's pull up our big boy pants. It's your turn tonight.
It's a win for every, it's a win for both sides. It's a win for television because TNT gets it. You don't know what's being said. It's a win for Mitchell because he gets to say, I told you so. He gets to have that moment of, how do you think about us now, Shaq? What do you think now, Shaq? How do you think? What do you think? What do you think, Shaq? Hey, how's the general, Shaq?
I would say this. The only contrarian thought to it for me, Jason, is Mitchell would say, my job's not done yet. He'll wear it once I'm hoisting a trophy.
But you can always.
But then you won't get to do that because they won't be on the call for the finals,
right?
So you wouldn't get to do that till next October,
right?
But I mean, that's a slow burn.
But if you wanted to wait and say at the end, saying, "Hey, so yeah, I'm sorry, I don't want to do the interview with you. You got Shaq's phone number? Let's do that. Let's call him right now. You could find
so he can say, "Hey, Shaq, tell me." I will not finish the rap.
He could have backed away from it if he wanted to. Like, if he didn't want to get into it, he could have shown, I'll do the interview with class. We'll just talk about this. I mean, anything could have happened. But I don't see how that did. And the thing is, you can't tell me, oh, well, technically there's this, there's that. They do it all the time. All right, TNT, everybody does it all the time. They do interviews with the studio, with people at the games. It always happens. So you can't tell me we couldn't figure it out, we couldn't hook it up. Something is up. I hope somebody asks. I hope somebody's in the position to say, hey, why didn't this happen? Somebody that has the ear of TNT or the Jazz can ask that question and go, why? Because it clearly, that's something that there's a reason why. The first time I could see, all right, well, maybe it was still kind of weak, but okay, this is just, oh, come on, man, the dude had 40. Five was the ending of a great game. You're not going to have Shaq talk to him?
If nothing else, you could do a Johnny drama and just yell, victory! And walk off.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up in 90 seconds, we got more on this game from the side of the team that didn't want to shoot the ball at the end. Wait till you hear what Rudy Gobert had to say about the Clippers following this game. Yikes! That's coming up in 90. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I ask you,
yeah,
what kind of respect do the Jazz have for the Clippers at the end of games when you get
zero.
When you get this guy? You got to let me ask before you give me the rhetorical answer, Mike Harmon. You got to let me ask a question first.
Okay, I just thought we were starting from negative.
What kind of respect do the Jazz have for the Clippers at the end of games when this is the quote from Rudy Gobert following the game? Now, the game ended, as you just heard Ralph play the highlight. The Clippers had the ball with a chance to tie the game. Kawhi Leonard had the ball, didn't want it, passed to Paul George. Paul George didn't want it, back to Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi didn't want it, passed to Marcus Morris, who got his three-point blocked. Jazz win game one. After the game was over, Gobert was asked about his game-saving block, and he said, quote, "I kind of fake helped and knew they were going to go to Morris, so I just tried to contest it as best as I could." Now, he wasn't quite Hakeem Warrick leaping out on Michael Lee from Syracuse, Kansas, but he did get out there on Morris. But what does that tell you when the defensive player of the year knows one of the top two guys on the team, the two biggest stars, neither of them are going to take this shot? It's going to be Marcus Morris is going to take this shot. What does that tell you about the respect they have for these players when they go, we know at the end, neither of these guys is going to take this shot?
Neither guy wants the ball. I mean, they played hot potato, right? That little, hey, Paul George coming past Kawhi Leonard, sets screen, he gets George the ball, and then it comes right back to Kawhi's hands, and he's got an opportunity to dribble. You know, he's still 5 point whatever on the clock, and instead looks over to Morris. And you got Gobert in no man's land. I mean, he had no fear that Kawhi Leonard, the guy that's been put up on the dais as one of the greats in the game where we're standing right now, some would say that for a while he held that number one status, you know, a placeholder while Kevin Durant got himself right physically. And, you know, LeBron's always circling around there. That's kind of a big deal. I mean, I could see not trusting or not believing and playing defensively, knowing Paul George probably didn't want that shot, but it's a big indictment to say, hey, Kawhi's not going to want any of that smoke either.
You know, and the other part of it is this, is that you see two guys that don't want to take shots. I mean, this is clearly what we've seen for Paul George. It's kind of a newer phenomenon with Kawhi Leonard a bit, but clearly this is who Paul George has been. Paul George had the chance to potentially take the game-winning shot in the last series against the Mavericks, and what did he do? He passes the ball to Terrence Mann on the wing. Mann is afraid to shoot a layup, and the Clippers don't get a shot, and they lose.
Bad right job now, by Batum, yeah.
I'll tell you, and he's the guy taking the shot at the end, right? It's Nicholas Batum and Marcus Morris have taken the last two shots with the game on the line for the Clippers in the final seconds. I mean, what does that tell you? I mean, I don't even know that I would put Paul George on the floor at the end of games anymore. I don't know if they would have him just in the corner as a decoy. Look, you're not going to take the shot, so we're not going to pass you the ball. I mean, really, something's got to give where you have to make sure you have some kind of play call. And I know Ty Lue is getting a lot of heat right now because he didn't call a timeout. I'm actually okay with that because I like the controlled chaos, because when you get to call up a play, the other team gets to call up a defense. But clearly, great job coaching by Quinn Snyder, because you saw the Jazz were all out guarding the perimeter because they knew the Clippers had to take a three, and the Clippers had no way to get that good shot off enough where one of their good players can do it. But still, I kind of like the fact that, okay, with the controlled chaos in the back, it should be advantage for the offense, but clearly that's not the case. Ty Lue's going to look at that and go, okay, from now on I got to call a timeout and set up a play. And I ain't set it up for Paul George, because clearly he wants nothing to do with the basketball. I don't know what else you can do if you're the Clippers at this point. It's such big, epic fails at the end of games. And sometimes some teams just can't execute the end of games like others, but when you have Kawhi and Paul George, you got the You know who's taking the shots. One of these guys has to take the shot. I mean, you can't have it just be Kawhi and passing it off. I'd rather have Kawhi at that point take a couple of dribbles and take a contested three or get somebody up in the air and he winds up getting to the free throw line to try to make three to send the game to overtime. Something like that you got to see. In the game when he took that bad three, there was still 10 seconds left when he took that contested three. You were other things you can do. This is game's coming down to the end. Dude, this is your time. Take the shot. Find a way. You only have one guy on you. You don't have three guys on you. Just, at this point, saying something nice about Steph Curry. This is not Steph Curry where he's got two and three guys and behind the three-point line, he's got nowhere to go. You got one guy on you. You're taller than he is. And Kawhi still wouldn't take the shot. I mean, that's baffling.
Ingles was out on him, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's like, get him, take him off the dribble. You got time to take two dribbles towards either the center of the court or wherever you want to go. Obviously, you don't want to go drifting down where Gobert, you know, really can commit to you. But either way, passing the ball off to Morris is just going to be a head scratcher, and one that they're going to look back, right? Because they got this game, they were in it. No Conley, and Reggie Jackson played 17 minutes and fouled out. So you gave it, you had the best shot you possibly could to steal one here. Even with those things working, one in your favor, one against you, and you've got guys that shrink away from a big moment after coming up with so many of them to advance in the last round. That's the other thing that's so puzzling, right? After the game seven that Kawhi had, that you have this.
Mm. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. More on the crazy ending in this game. Plus, the one city I can't go to anymore after one of my NBA takes in the last half hour. Yeah, I can't go there anymore. And the thing is, I like going to this city. I go to this city a lot. Now I can't go anymore.
Do you need to leave?
No. LA, I'm good. It's another city I can't go to.
Okay.
It's coming up next. Wait, go ahead, Ty. Should play it.
Miami!
I finally give you an open shot to play the Cleveland, and you don't play it?
Shots, and you know what? He didn't take the shot, just like Paul George or Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. Alex Tyshirt is the Paul George of this show.
No, you're okay, Kawhi Leonard. You try to pass me a shot I don't want.
I like that. So now I'm going to give it right back to you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's coming up next. Give it right here, Fox.
Do you feel me loving you?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Where we are still reacting to the thrilling ending between the Jazz and the Clippers. 112-109 is the final. This because the Clippers with a chance to tie the game at the end. They were a three-pointer away. Kawhi Leonard didn't want it, passed the ball to Paul George. Paul George didn't want it at all, gave it back to Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi decided, I don't want the shot. Pass to Marcus Morris, who takes a three that gets blocked by Rudy Gobert. And the Jazz win it 112-109. Now, just think about this for a second, all right? Just for a second before we get into the city I can't go to anymore. The last two games for the Clippers that have come down to the final shot, right? Those shots have been taken by Marcus Morris and Nicholas Batum. Right. Mm-hmm. That's something that is inexplainable. And so now I am going to be very surprised. And they were both shots that came in the flow of the game. Right. Ty Lue didn't call a timeout tonight and he didn't call a timeout last game. Right. In the series against the Mavericks. And I, like I said, I like that. I like being because you think the advantage is on the offense there. But this is now two games in a row where you have seen that's not the case. So now if you're Ty Lue, when that comes up again, it's a timeout and you draw up the bleep and play you want. And you get the ball to Kawhi Leonard and you say, Kawhi, you are finding a way to take this shot. Paul George, I don't want you near the play. You just get away from it because clearly you don't want the ball. So this is how we're going to do it. We're going to try to find a way to come in off a screen. Kawhi, you're going to take it. We're going to try to match you up on a smaller guy, and you're going to take this shot. Don't pass it. Don't give it to anybody else. You're going to take this shot, and that's how it's going to go. And we're going to sit here. We're done now. So here's the rest of the timeout. It's going to be me telling you this is how we're going to inbound the ball and get it to you. And, Paul, when the ball is inbound, you get as far away from the basketball as possible. And maybe somebody will just feel like we should chase you because you're the second best player on the floor. But you're not going to get the ball. So maybe that opens it up a little bit for Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi, you are taking this shot. okay, you've done it before. I don't know why you haven't done it now, but you're going to take this shot. And that's how I drop the final play in the huddle for the Clippers.
Yeah, I'm looking back. I don't have it in front of me. I'm assuming there was still a they still had a timeout, right? So we have that in the holster. If nothing else, once Kawhi got the ball back at whatever it was, 5.7 seconds, call the timeout then. Mm-hmm. Right? They've now shown their hand of coming out and everybody playing at the three-point line, which you would assume they would do, right? You need a three anyway. But you've seen the rotation, you've seen how they've come out to defend. So then call your timeout, reset, and as you say, find a way to get Kawhi an open look. Again, this hurts that you didn't have Reggie Jackson, who you would turn to for three-point shooting. He'd already made the three before foul trouble sent him to the bench, and ultimately he fouls out very early into the fourth quarter. So difficult loss for the Clippers, but we saw him battle back. This is a different animal, quite obviously. But you are still playing against a beast that's a scorer. The only problem is now you actually have guys that can step up and be a number two, unlike last series. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Porzingis.
So that's going to be what hopefully the Clippers look. And at some point, when you keep blowing games at the end, eventually you're going to run out of miracles. It's still only game one of the series, but still you wonder, is this the one that changes it? Because, look, there's always a game that changes the momentum of the series. Usually it's later on, but sometimes it's game one. And this was one the Clippers had. They didn't have it, but it's still early. They can still flip things around. But eventually you give games away, other teams aren't going to allow you to come back. Like, this,
you
got to
fight
Dallas.
Like you're running out of time.
Exactly. Yeah, this is a better team than the Dallas Mavericks are. Now, a city I can't go to anymore, which is too bad because I really like going here. I can't go to Phoenix anymore, Mike Harmon.
Phoenix?
I can't go to
Phoenix.
I figured
you were banned from Los Angeles, that the Kobe Bryant fans were mad at you.
No. I can't go to Phoenix because, you know, what I told you, and I've said this many times, the closest thing the NBA has to Kobe Bryant is Donovan Mitchell. And you're seeing games like tonight. People just don't see him as much, but we do, and this is the kind of guy he is, the streakiness. And all I've gotten, oh, my God, Suns fans are just killing me in my time. It's Devin Booker. Yes, because Devin Booker's had a couple of games where he scored a lot of points. He had a 75-point game. Yeah, I'll still take Donovan Mitchell. I'll take Donovan Mitchell at the end of clutch games more than I will take Devin Booker right now. And that's easy. That's not even a debate for me right now. And Booker's great. He had the great closeout game against the Lakers, but clearly the Lakers weren't really good. So it's not like, you know, he didn't close out a team, to get to the NBA Finals. It was still a great performance by Devin Booker, don't get me wrong. But big games, playoff games, how I've seen him do it, oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll take Donovan Mitchell, who's 24, over Devin Booker right now for being that guy, 100%.
Look at you. Now you got, them mad at you. You can't go to Arizona anymore.
No, and I like going there. I like Phoenix.
You were out partying a couple months ago, so I know it's all good. You get your freak on. You'll have to find a new place. If you would like to house Jason Smith at How About a Fresca, he'll come and he'll act the fool and he'll bring you a cheesy burrito.
You're going to bring me what? A quesarito. Quesarito greater than Nikola Jokic. My buddy Ben Maller coming up next. Quesarito, yo.